Good day, sir, or ma'am. Thank you for giving me the privilege of sharing this with you. Now, I know that you are very busy, or perhaps you are enjoying your time off today. But what I have to share with you cannot wait another day. Did you know that while Jesus was on earth, there was much confusion about who he was? Some thought he was a wise man, or perhaps even a great prophet. Others thought he was a madman. Still others couldn't decide or didn't care at all. And perhaps you might think that I'm a madman too for sharing this with you. But Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." That's quoted in John 10:30. That means he claims to be nothing less than God in human flesh. He was just like you and me. He was real, as you are. Yet many people today still don't understand that Jesus claimed to be God. They're content to think of him as little more than a great moral teacher. But even his enemies understood his claims to his deity. That's why they tried to stone him to death, which is quoted in John chapter 5, verse 18, and 10, verse 33, and eventually had him crucified, John 19:7. Yet this man was holy and perfect, which is quoted in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. As God, Jesus embodied every element of God's character. For Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "In him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." He was perfectly holy, which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Even his enemies couldn't prove any accusations against him. John 8:46. And just like Jesus, believe it or not, God requires holiness of us as well. 1 Peter 1:16 says this, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, sir, ma'am, you may ask why. Because he cannot see or approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. That's Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. You see, this creates a big problem for you and me. "But our iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." That's quoted in Isaiah 59:2. Today, many people claim to hear from God. But how is this possible if these people are not living holy lives? Either God did not mean it, or the people are hearing someone else. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Psalm 11:7. Please understand that our failure to obey God, to be holy, places us in a danger of eternal punishment, which is quoted in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. The truth is, we cannot obey him because we have neither the desire nor the ability to do so. We are by nature rebellious towards God. And here is where people hear someone else. That's quoted in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning on verse 1 to 3. The Bible calls our rebellion sin. And according to the scripture, everyone is guilty of sin. There's no man who does not sin. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And we are incapable of changing our sinful condition. Jeremiah 13:23, it says this, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Neither can you do good or accustomed to doing evil." Now, sir, ma'am, that doesn't mean we're incapable of performing acts of human kindness, which I see them occasionally. We might even be involved in various religious meetings or humanitarian activities in our surroundings. But we are utterly incapable of understanding, loving, or pleasing God on our own. For the Bible says, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together, they have become useless. There is no one who does good. There's not even one. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. God's holiness and justice demand that all sin be punished by death. The soul who sins will die. Ezekiel 18:4. Now that's hard for us to understand, because we tend to evaluate sin on a relative scale compared to the world, assuming some sins are less serious than others, as many have taught. However, the Bible teaches that all acts of sin are the result of sinful thinking and evil desires. Do you know what that means? That even our thoughts and desires of the day are right now sinful in the eyes of God. That's why simply changing our patterns of behavior or your actions seen by others can't solve our sin problem or eliminate its consequences. We need to be changed inwardly so our thinking and desires are holy. And for this, Jesus is the only one who can forgive and transform us, thereby delivering us from the power and the penalty of sin. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That's quoted from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Even though God's justice demands death for sin, His love has provided a Savior who paid the penalty and died for sinners. Christ, Jesus, died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Christ's death satisfied the demands of God's justice, thereby enabling Him to forgive and save those who place their faith and trust in Him. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." He alone is our great God and Savior. That's Titus 2:13. God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. That's Psalm 7:11-12. Sir, ma'am, this means that all of us are condemned to death. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. Isaiah 64:6. For as many are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them." Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, some people think it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere in your denomination. But without a valid object, your faith is useless. Let me explain. If you were to take poison, thinking it's medicine, all the faith in the world won't restore your life. Similarly, if Jesus is the only source of salvation, and you're trusting in anyone or anything else for your salvation, your faith is useless. Many people assume there are many paths to God, and that each religion or denomination represents an aspect of the truth. But Jesus said, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's John 14:6. Now, He didn't claim to be one of many equally legitimate paths to God, or the way to God for His day only, No. He claimed to be the only way to God, then and forever. Today, in American schools and the governments, is that contemporary thinking says that man is the product of evolution. But the Bible says we were created by a personal God to love, to serve, and enjoy endless fellowship with Him. The New Testament reveals it was Jesus Himself who created everything. John chapter 1 verse 3, Colossians 1:16. That's you and me. Therefore, He also owns and rules everything. Psalm 103:19. That means He has authority over our lives, and we owe Him absolutely allegiance, obedience, and worship. Not to any nation or state, but to Him only. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Romans 4:25. Sadly, many today are confessing Jesus as Lord, yet it means humbly submitting to His authority. That's quoted in Philippians 2:10-11. And that is not seen in our midst. Believing that God has raised Him from the dead involves trusting in the historical fact of His resurrection, the pinnacle of Christian faith, and the way the Father affirmed the deity and the authority of the Son. That's Romans chapter 1 verse 4, Acts chapter 17 verse 30 and 31. Please understand that repentance begins with a recognition and a confession that what God says about us is true, that we have sinned and we will die. It is agreeing with God that you are sinful, confessing your sins to Him, and making a conscious choice to turn from sin and pursue holiness. That's in Isaiah 55:7. For Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." John 8:31. It isn't enough to believe these facts about Christ. For even this CD is a CD. Even Satan and his demons believe in the true God. That's James chapter 2 verse 19. But they don't love Him, and surely they do not obey Him. Their faith is not genuine. And so are many who proclaim Him today. True saving faith always responds in obedience. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Jesus is the sovereign Lord. When you obey Him, you're acknowledging His lordship and submitting to His authority. That doesn't mean your obedience will always going to be perfect, but that is our goal. And there is no area of your life that you withhold from Him. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. That's Isaiah chapter 1 verse 16. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew chapter 3 verse 10. All who reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior will one day face Him as their judge. God is now declaring to man that all everywhere should repent, because He has fixed a day in which He would judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. Acts chapter 17 verse 30 and 31. Thessalonians chapter 1:7-9 says this: "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels and flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. This is why I urge you to reconsider. A true Christian is a new creation and will live a life that reflects God's radical work of recreation in his or her life. You will be more like Jesus every day. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, the new things have come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that you have a new relation with sin. It convicts you, and you continue to repent every day. Without this, you have no conversion. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? That's Matthew 7:16. Our assurance is based upon self-examination in the light of Scripture. Sir, ma'am, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He alone can redeem you, free you from the power and penalty of sin of today. He alone can transform you, restore you to fellowship with God, and give your life eternal purpose. Once again, sir or ma'am, please consider this today. I beg of you.
Sin, the most alluring, enticing experience known to mankind. Do you have issues? Do you sometimes feel lonely and unfulfilled? Do you get bored with the monotony of everyday life? Try sin. Guaranteed to temporarily satisfy fleshly desires and stimulate all five of your senses. Sin. 100% human nature. Available for women and men of all shapes, sizes, and colors.
Side effects may include death, early pregnancy, incarceration, demonic possession, chemical dependency, eternal burning, and gnashing of teeth.
Sin.
Got Jesus.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So it states in John chapter 1, beginning on verse 1 and 2. Now, this always amazes me, how man can deny or dissect this statement in today's time. From the start, it all started with the Word spoken by God, and Jesus was there. And yet, many denied Jesus in their circles, to include some who profess Him. Look at all of the religions in the world that we have today that contradict this quote. No doubt, they need a Savior. But the Bible continues to tell us even more. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. What is He saying? Simply this, that anyone without Jesus is in the dark and will die. Now, this is not saying that you just have to proclaim Him and will have life and light, as many attempt to do so today. You know, I can go to any bar today, and most everyone in the bar will tell me that they are Christians. I can go to an abortion clinic, and most will claim that they are Christians. I can go to a soldier in a war after shooting or killing someone, and he will claim that he is a Christian. I can go to the White House or to Congress or any other government after passing laws that are contrary to God's word, and most will claim to be Christians. You know, I am so tired of hearing this. Men proclaiming the Bible with their elaborate Christian quotes, and in their private and public lives, they live like worldly devils. They are not Christians. Do you want to know what the devil looks like? Go into your bathroom and stand in front of a mirror. How can so many people be fooled today with this image? Are they not able to read the Bible for themselves? Well, you would think that they could, but no. They go to others to hear interpretations of the word. And just like many, before I knew Jesus, my life had challenges. I had a career. I had goals, money, achievements, possessions, desires to succeed. For that, I had to perform. To be the best, but I was a good guy. Never in trouble. My conscience was clear. My self-esteem, my pride, my money, my houses, my cars were all in line. And the worst thing of all this, I had a clear conscience. All of this was in line with the world around us. And I was winning the game. A rat race that we have to learn to master. Train by the best and believe that it was all for me to take. It wasn't just an or world, but both worlds. I could have both. The world is what you make of it, they said. Do it right. Do it best. So I made it the best I could take. I was smart, educated, good looking, at least to my standards. I had friends, prestige, honor, awards, job approved by the world, by my family, by my friends, by my peers, by others in the world, respected by the community. Drink occasionally, swear occasionally, and was out to conquer the world. And wanted to retire in a condo, living very wealthy for the rest of my life. And as many of you know, this takes a lot of planning in this world. Why? Because that was around me. That's what we see everywhere. This Greek-Roman culture is embedded in our souls. You know, the old quote, to fly with eagles, you must surround yourself with success, not with a bunch of turkeys. That is the motto of the world. Because that's what society, education, family, and friends were doing. Some very poorly. Others by stealing others with schemes. The American way. Capitalism. I was one of them. Those in the dark. Yet I thought I had light. People hung around me. They felt good when I was there. I felt good when I was around people with power. Yet Jesus is contrary to all of this. The word is saying that without Jesus, you have no light. Now many are buying their own light today. But he's speaking about his light. And it's not the world's reflection of light, which is what we see today. This means that unless Jesus comes in my life and resides in my heart, in my mind, and my actions, we will not have light in this world. What is the opposite? Simply this. Continue your life the same way before seeing Jesus, and you are destined to be in the dark. A reflection of the world's light that is false. But you say, wait a minute. This is a pretty hard saying from you, coming from a man that has accomplished so much in the world. Yes, it is. You want to know something? It was for nothing. And it means nothing. In the light of Jesus. In one of these days, you too will see it. That it means nothing. And Jesus is everything. But I do not say it. Jesus did. If you or I don't like this statement, take your complaint to Him, not to me. Listen to this. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Did you get that? Light shines in the darkness. Where are you? Where I was? I hope that you can comprehend this, because if you cannot, then you are in the dark. And if you are in the dark, you have no light. In your family, your work, your home, your community, or anywhere else in this world. Although they tell you that is the American way, or the Jewish way, or the Russian way, or even the European way. I'm telling you, it's the devil's way. And you are being lied to. That's the world's job, for them to lie. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is everything. He is the light. Anything smeared like peanut butter on bread in your professional or cultural leisure life with Christianity is a lie, and you are in the dark and destined to serve yourself and your own pride, self-indulgence mixed with compassion that you don't even know what it's composed of. I know. I was there. You are in the dark. Jesus is the light. Not me, or through someone else preaching or denomination. No. Jesus is the light. Unless you are willing to accept this, you will never have the light of Jesus. I and others bear witness of this. Something to consider in your life of pursuits today. Accept the light.
Ha-adon Abir Mini Matityahu 4:10.
Next file, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things, too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like, one time, I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park. That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. Bio, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles!
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with.
He's with me.
Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Repent and believe the good news.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
Jesus.
My heart and my mind is tugging at my spirit. I'm going to share with you the reason why. For years, we have been bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others all over the world. Along the way, we have met many people who appeared to be touched by the gospel, and our lives are walking by faith, simply by relying on our Lord Jesus Christ. But later, to find out it was a lie, and their motives was anything else except the glory of our Lord Jesus and what the Bible teaches. Many have even gone so far to proclaim that we are part of their family, to later ignore us as strangers due to the gospel teachings and walks of our life. With much travail and persuasion, we continue to get them to see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the end results of frustration to our minds and soul, even to the point of exhaustion. Feeling beaten, rejected, abused, used, and even tears on our eyes, walking away, not able to give them the light that Jesus has bestowed on us to share to the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to verse 4, it says this, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Now let me ask you a question. Should we quit bringing the gospel to a dark generation, a generation that is perishing moment by moment? Well, the answer is no. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. One thing is to know the truth that all will find in the scriptures, and another is to know it through the Spirit of the living God. You see, you can have all the knowledge of the truth and still be blind as a bat. That is why we need the Spirit of the living God to renew, to change our mind and our hearts, to light that fire in us. Without it, you are blind and lost forever. and destined to hell. We need the Spirit of the living God to outpour with manifestations in our lives. We need His fire. I am shocked and amazed and terrified to the point of yelling to all everywhere I go by grabbing them, shaking them by any means to what God has done in Christ for us. Without a doubt, we need all to be more godly. We need to be more devoted to Christ. We need to run from sin around us. But believe it or not, this is almost impossible. Even if someone twisted your arm, it will not accomplish this. It sparkles in our eyes. Sin is everywhere. That's why you need Jesus' realization, the Spirit of the living God in your life. Let me, if you allow me, to read this to you. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's quoted in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what this means? Well, you're pretty close, but not quite. Consider this. Paul was a prisoner of the love of God, in which it was revealed in Christ Jesus that set him on fire. Now understand this, that loving God is not something that we do yourselves by reading or studying the Word. It's not a series of do's and don'ts. Oh no. Oh no, my dear friend. God does it. If your heart has truly been regenerated by Jesus Christ, you will love God. And that will grow and grow and grow and continue to grow to the degree of knowing Him more. Now, on the other hand, the wicked, the more they know about God, the more He hates him. Why? Because God is righteous. He's a loving and a good God. And they're not. But the more we see Christ, the more we are drawn to Him. And I pray that you will be able to see Him a little more during this time. You see, spiritual matters is not learned from a preacher or a denomination or writings, and definite not from listening to me as I'm speaking this to you. We need the Spirit of the living God. We need it. We crave it. We want it now. Listen to this. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus faced real temptations as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit of the living God. He was real. He could cry, say ouch if he got hurt. He had real feelings. He would eat, sleep, get tired, and so on. Just like you and me, and yet He was God. Now His relationship with the Father was perfect. He loved God as He should be, as He deserves to be loved. There was never a moment that Jesus did not love God as He deserves to be loved. Every heartbeat of His heart was for the glory of the God the Father, and He knew no sin. Now let me ask you a question. Can you love God the way He deserves? If you said yes, you're a liar, my friend. If you said no, then consider this. You and I drink sin like if it was water. We buy it like Coca-Cola down at the corner market. You see, we need to be filled with righteousness in Him for God. Now you say, well, what is righteousness? Does it mean that the moment you believe in Him, you're righteous? No, because if you did, you will never sin again. What it means is that before the throne of God, a true believer is declared righteous. Now that's a legal term. Just like Abraham believed in the promises of God, and you are treated as righteous. This means that God now relates to you in a whole different manner. In other words, He responds to you as a righteous creature. Now let's go back to Calvary for a second. The sins of God's people was imputed into Him as guilty, and He is treated as such. God treats you as righteous, but your sins have been imputed to Jesus. And now God treats Him, Jesus, as unrighteous on the cross. In other words, He was treated as you ought to have to been treated. Now, I don't know about you. This is terrifying. One of the reasons we cannot understand this is because we're not treated as we ought to. We live in a society that bad is good, and good is bad. As for the pulpits, this is avoided in many doctrines in the churches of North America. Please understand this. Without it, you will not understand what God has done for you in the cross. Let me ask you one question. God is good. Do you tremble at this? You should, because you're not. You are evil. You are selfish, hateful, arrogant, self-centered, self-righteous, conceited, spoiled, little brat, that if you had power, you would be worse than Hitler or Stalin. Now let me ask you this. What leaves a good God to do with you? The answer is at the cross. We are incompetent, all men, in order to comprehend sin. Understand that Jesus had a perfect relationship with the Father. God created the world out of His abundant relationship with His Son. He created it for His Son. And sinful man has abused it, profited, destroyed, and killed it, all in God's creation for their benefit. Make no mistake, everything that God will ever do is for His Son. And the Son, everything He will ever do is for the Father. You and I don't fit in this equation. Now, I'm sorry if you've been told that Jesus loves you. I'm sorry if you've been told that you are the center of this universe. I hate to burst your bubble, but I hate to tell you this. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. The Son has always delighted in the Father, and the Father has always delighted in the Son. They smile at each other constantly. God is love. Jesus is love. Now this is an amazing relationship compared to ours, which is total evil. Yet on that tree, the relationship was broken. Real sin fell on Him. Real guilt fell on Him. He was treated as the worst of the worst, as if it was you on that tree. He knew no sin. He was made sin. And with that came a curse. Curses everyone who do not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10. Now, I hate to tell you this. That is you, my friend. That's Moses coming after you in the name of God with God's blessing. You are cursed by the one who is good, because you have violated every goodness and you are evil. Without Christ, that's you. Without Christ, you are cursed. Without Christ, on the day of judgment, all of creation will cheer and applaud. All the angels and every creature that lives in heaven in the New Jerusalem will applaud God, because you will finally quit to exist from this face of this earth as you take your steps into hell. Now, hello, is this registering in you? I sure hope so. I hope I have painted a dark enough picture. Or maybe, perhaps, I haven't painted it dark enough. You see, this is nothing compared to the reality of the curse that Jesus suffered at the cross. Are you listening? We're trying to save your life. You're not what the world tells you. A blogger, or retired, or professional, or a fisherman, or a teacher, or whatever else you may be, a cop, or whatever. You're not what the government mental health says about you either. You're a man or a woman that stands before God that has broken every law written and rightly deserved punishment. Look at the people you have lied to. Look at the people you have hurt. The selfish person that you are. How many people have you used to get your way? We are a sinful race. And if you think that you are good, I got news for you. Without Christ, you are nothing. For a true Christian is a dog-eat-dog fight every day. We have a remnant of sin. But those that don't have Christ, you are a product of sin to be done away with if you don't repent. Now let's read Matthew 5, 3 to 12, so you can see where the true Christian is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. So how can a good God bless a person like you or me? He must condemn you. God is good. God is love. This is the justice. Because your guilt was thrown upon Christ, you can be blessed because he was cursed. It's not about the Torah, the five books of Moses, or the Sabbath, or a denomination, or a race like a Jews, or the early church. No. It's all about Jesus. On that cross, the Father cried out, "The Lord your God damns you," so that you could be blessed. How can we escape what he has done for us? For some of us, this sets us on fire. This requires our loyalty, our devotion, our passion, our life's pursuit, all for the kingdom of God, all for Jesus. While others are playing with boats, trucks, hobbies, houses, investments, schools, professions, and everything else under the sun, while in the shadow of the cross. My dear friend, we continue to tremble. We were created for him and his glory, and not yours. Repent and behold the Lord, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our outcry to the world. We want to see you in heaven. The Lord's Night Ministries is a walk by faith gospel and is aired on local radio stations in your area. Our goal is for people to repent and see the glory of Jesus in their lives. The Lord's Night does not charge for any of their audios. You can go to lordsnight.blogspot.com. Once again, that's lordsnight.blogspot.com for free audios and insights. Or find us on Twitter at Kosher Satellite also. May the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.